Well, we come to Philippians chapter 3, verse 15, and we come to kind of the summing up of what Paul has been looking at from all the way back in 1:27. So all the way back there, Paul asks this kind of question: how are we going to live lives worthy of the gospel? How are we going to live lives worthy of the gospel under the dark clouds of oppression, under suffering, and under opposition? How are we going to live lives worthy of the gospel? And the word that is lives worthy of the gospel, the word worthy is citizens. It's how do we live as citizens of the gospel? How do we live as people of the gospel? How do we live up to what the gospel is? It's the same word that we have here a bit later on, with a slight difference. We'll get to that. So how are we going to do that? How are we going to live lives worthy of the gospel, live as citizens of the gospel in our world? How are the Philippians doing that? Well, as we've looked through this whole section, I say, all the way from 1:27, all the way through, it comes down to almost one thing. We need to have the right mindset. See, to be live as citizens of the gospel, lives worthy of the gospel, we need to have the right mindset, a citizen's mindset. And I realise that my point is probably slightly in error, because it's not a citizen's mindset, it is the mindset of citizens. It's not an individual thing, it is a thing of unity, it is about together. That each citizen, this is what it is to be a citizen, to have this mindset. What is that mindset? Well, fundamentally, it is that mindset of Christ. But as we were looking a moment ago, verse 15 tells us that all who are mature have this mindset. And that is, he's pointing directly to his own life, to the life of that he's just described. Pointing to his own way of thinking, that he's given up everything. He's willing to suffer for Christ in his what he does. He's willing to count everything that he had loss because there's something better in Christ. That was his example. And he wants us to look at that mindset, what it is to be mature and have that view of things. And he's encouraging us in that. But also he says something that's on first glance quite difficult. And if some of you, if on some point you think differently, that too God will make clear to you. As if it doesn't really matter what you believe. But that's not what he's pointing to. He's saying, well, we know what is true. But if on some other things, some things that haven't been clear to you yet, then that isn't your primary concern. But as he goes on, what are you to do? Live out what you already know. Live out the gospel that you know and understand. Live out that mindset that you have, the mindset of Christ, that mindset which is humble submission, but first to God and then to one another. Willingness to suffer and for the good of others. Always looking to an eternal hope, a heavenly goal. See, through Paul's life, we see that mindset of Christ. He is exampling in his own life. So we have to ask ourselves two questions at this point. Do we have that mindset of Christ, that mindset which is humble submission to God and to one another? The things that we've been looking at over the last few weeks. Are we willing to suffer for others? Are we willing to suffer for the gospel, but also for one another? Are we willing to put ourselves out? Are we willing to pray with somebody, even though it's not the best time for us? Are we willing to visit somebody, even though it's not the most comfortable for us? Are we willing to say what we believe to friends and suffer the consequences? And do we live that out? That's the thing, if we know these things. So often we know what the Bible says, but it's a very different thing to actually living those things out. In verse 16, live up to what you already have attained. If you know the gospel, if you know what it means, if you know what it means for all that Christ has done, we need to live up to what we already have. And this is essential, because as we've seen, our way of thinking always affects our way of living. So it's not just a citizen's mindset, it's also a citizen's life. You see, this mindset that is primary in Christ and seen in other people is what Paul says we should follow. So join together in following my example. So everybody, all of you, join together, brothers and sisters, in following my example. But not just Paul, he goes on. Just as you have us as a model. It's not just Paul's example, but also he's given the examples of Timothy and Epaphroditus as examples of what it is to live out that Christ-like mindset, that citizen's mindset. And they're very different mindsets. They're the same mindset, sorry, but they're very different lives. You know, it's not living the same life that's the key. The same mindset is the key. But living very different lives. See, Timothy cared genuinely for people. That's what we're told about. That he cared for other people and for God at first. That he was humble before other people. He cared for them. Epaphroditus almost died for the Lord because he wanted to go and help, or he was sent to go and help Paul. You know, he was willing to suffer for the good of Paul in that. And he did that for God, as it says. They're very different lives, but there's the same core understanding, the same core thing, that they have this mindset of Christ, they have this mindset that is humble submission and willing sacrifice for others, for the good of others. So it's not just these three that are examples of. And keep your eyes on those who live as we do. Look out for those who are living this way, who are examples, who can show you ways of living with this mindset. Look out for people who maybe live like Paul. Maybe we'll only read of them. Those who are willing to suffer and lose everything for the sake of the gospel. But also those who, like Timothy, genuinely just care for people and put their needs first. These are people who have that mindset. And these are people who should be examples to us. But we won't see that unless two things happen. We need to be looking for those who can be our examples. And we also need to be living those examples for other people. And sharing our lives with other people. Because unless people know what is going on in our lives, they can't see. We can't be an example if nobody knows us. You know, Paul shared his life. He shared information about other people's lives as well, that they could be an example. But it's not just positive examples, those that we should be looking out for, the example of Paul, the example of Timothy. But there are some negative examples as well, as it goes on. Paul, with tears, tells of those who live as enemies of Christ, verse 18. Those who don't submit to the cross, those who don't have this mindset. And he describes them in two ways. In verse 19, they're destined for destruction, but his description of them is their God is their stomach. Their God, the thing that they worship, is what they can get, what can fill them, what they can have. And their glory is in their shame, the thing that gives them glory, the thing that builds them up, is actually things that they should be ashamed of. And that's not necessarily even the thing itself. It is that thing has taken God's place. And that should shame us. If something has taken God's place, that should shame us. This is a warning to us. It's like they're all hidden behind doors now, but the old cigarette packets with that picture of lungs blackened by tar. That's this picture. It is a warning sign. It is obvious that this way lies death. That is destruction. You see, those who live this way show that they don't have that mindset, that they are not in Christ. That way is death. And we need to feel the warning of this. Because if our lives look like they're enemies of the cross, if they're indistinguishable between them, perhaps we need to think, are they? Are we living as enemies of the cross? Are we living as enemies of God? But the distinction between these two people, these two groups of people, is mindset. One of them is focus on the world, focus on worship of self, of what they can get, focus on glory from wherever they can get it. The other has a heavenly focus, and focused on the one who can save. These two groups are set apart by where they're looking, where their focus is, where their worship is directed. You see, that is the distinction between the two. One of them has the mindset of worshipping God, worshipping the one who created, and the other has the mindset of worshipping the created, worshipping what they can get out of creation, what they can eat, what they can fill in their different ways. We go on to verse 20 and 21. And a citizen's future. See, if we've received the gospel, our focus should be on our heavenly citizenship. And as I said, that's slightly different word. You see, earlier on it was talking about citizens as people, and now this is more talking about citizen as a place. It's like this, and I think this is what Paul is doing here. You see, Philippi is in Macedonia, it's in what is now Greece. But it's a Roman colony. It's a Roman colony in that place. But they're citizens of Rome, which is miles away. But that is where their citizenship is. But they are where they are. They're in Macedonia. They're a colony where they are. But their citizenship is really in Rome. It's in that distant place. And it's kind of like if you go on holiday. You may be a citizen, a UK citizen, but if you're on holiday in America, you're still a UK citizen. That citizenship is somewhere else. It is in that place. And this is what Paul is saying. But you who believe, you who hold to this mindset, this unity in their mindset as they imitate Christ, you have a heavenly citizenship. That is where your citizenship is. That is who you are. You may be in this colony somewhere else right now, but that is where your citizenship is. That is where the emperor is. That is where your king is. And as we live under these dark clouds, we need to know that there is a sovereign ruler in that place. As Paul goes on, that there is a saviour from that, the Lord Jesus Christ. He's there, and that's where our citizenship is. That is who we are. We are citizens of that place. We are citizens of heaven. It's not something to come in the future, though it's something to be fulfilled in the future. It is who we are now. We are those citizens. And he has power. The one who has power that enables him to bring everything under his control. He has power to bring everything under his control. Not just his empire as the Roman emperor, but he is Lord of all. He will bring everything under his control. And if we're going to stand and keep that the mindset of a citizen, despite trouble, then we need to know that there is one who is in charge. There is one who has that power. But it's not just there. That's not the end of it. You see, he will come and give us glory. You see, the example that we looked at a little while ago, whose God is their stomach and their glory is their shame, we see the God, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. And we eagerly await him. He is our God. And he gives us glorious bodies. That we are transformed to be like him. That is, to become, have our bodies transformed into his, like his glorious body. That is one that does not die. That is one that does not suffer. That is one that doesn't suffer both physically, but also one that doesn't suffer spiritually. One that doesn't give in to sin. One that doesn't suffer failure and corruption from this world. That is the glorious body. So, as we look at these passages, Paul is urging us to look forward. That is who we are. We are citizens. He's urging us to look at our hope. The one who is in heaven. The one who has power. And our Saviour who is coming. That is what Paul is urging us to look forward to. And I used to ride motorbikes off-road. And the best piece of information and advice I ever got about doing that was very simple. but very important. Look where you want to go. It's especially important if you're coming up to like a rotting road or maybe a tree that's growing across. Because if you just focus on what's coming and not where you want to go, you are going to come off. Because you're not going to keep on going. That is your own focus. It's almost, you carry on through that because you're focused on where you're going. You're focused on where you want to go rather than the thing that's right in front of you. You might have noticed it when maybe you don't anymore. Or when I'm driving sometimes, if I turn around, I slightly sway to one side. Not too extreme, it's okay, you can be next to me. But where you look is where you are going. That should be our focus. We should have our eyes fixed on our hope. That of who we are now as citizens, and yet who we also will become as citizens. But that isn't the end. See, all that Paul has been talking about has built up to this point. And when I first looked at these verses, I thought, why are they attached to this section? Why am I preaching on these parts as well? But this is what Paul is really getting to in Philippi. This is the reason for his letter. He wants the Philippians to have the mindset of Christ. He wants them to be united. He wants them to be united citizens of heaven. He wants them to live lives worthy of the gospel. But he's directing it really to these two people. You see, there's these two ladies who are living in disunity, who obviously don't have that mindset of caring for putting one another first. Maybe as they are fellow workers with Paul in the past, it's probable that they're, how do we do gospel work under these pressures? How do we live gospel lives? As Paul has been focusing on that, under these pressures. And there may be disunity there. There is disunity there. But Paul pleads with them. See, Paul writes to two real people. And they aren't these words aren't academic. What we've been looking at about having that mindset, they aren't just thoughts, nice ideas, but they have real impact. You see, Paul writes to these two ladies, people who have worked with him for the gospel's sake, because he wants them to be united, to have that same mind. All we've looked at has impact tomorrow, next week, tonight. It's not just theory. Like in the Boxing Day tsunami in 2005, there was a 10-year-old girl in Thailand on a beach, and as she was standing there, she saw the water start to do strange things, bubbling. She saw boats violently rising on the horizon. She saw the water suddenly withdraw from the beach. And then she warned everybody that a tidal wave was coming, that a tsunami was coming. She had learned a few weeks earlier in her geography lessons about, and at that point, it was just theory. It was just things that you can know. But on that beach, it isn't just theory. It isn't just things that to know and to understand. But what she knew saved lives. As she warned her parents, who then warned other holidaymakers, who then warned the staff. You see, our mindset affects our lives, it really does. Our mindset is how we live together as Christians, as those who are citizens. And our mindset is how we focus on what Christ has done and where he is now. It is our hope. We should have the same mindset of Christ. Humble submission first to God and to others. Our willingness to suffer for the good of others. That we may enjoy what Christ has enjoyed, that he enjoyed him. We do all of this because of what he has done. That he is one who was willing to humble himself, even to death on a cross. That he is one who has been exalted and will return. And this hope that we have is just more wonderful than really I think any of us can explain.